the hell are you laughing at?
The silence and the looking.
I did that today, my son.
That sounds kind of cool.
I told you, I could hum show tunes. That was my skill. That was Jaws, like, before it got to its iconic sound, but just a build up. Yeah. That's what I used to do. I used to just stand there. My dad would come walking around a corner, a young Malcolm Riddle, about 86 pounds, 96 pounds, with the same size head. And I'd be standing there singing, humming show tunes. That's Superman. And he would just look at me like I was just out of my mind. That's right, people. So you heard it. Yeah.
It's pretty cute.
No, it's pretty nerdy.
That too. It's cute too.
Young kid in the 70s should be out in the streets. Here I was putting show tunes on because I had records. I literally had the vinyl records of Superman, the movie. And
the soundtracks? Raider,
yes, vinyl. And so back then there was no VHS, there was no HBO. So what I would have to do is recreate what I saw in the movies. And so as I would play those, then I would hum them and I would recreate the scenes in my mind. Enough of that. Let's start this show. Tazi, wake up. She's awake. She's kind of charged up today.
No.
No?
Not really.
Laid okay. Back.
Yeah. Always, actually.
She's chilling. So we'd like to wish you listeners a happy New Year, Mary and Tazi.
Yeah. Thanks. Happy New Year to
that's
you.
That's what's up.
Malcolm Riddle.
We are. Yes, right.
Had to get it in there.
Got to fit it in there.
Yeah.
We are in 2014.
Yeah.
Still got a little cough, people.
Oh.
But I'm alive and kicking it.
Yay.
And I'd like to thank you guys for hanging in there, listening to the podcast, and joining us. So here we go. I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with it. Why are you looking at me like that? Like I'm crazy. What's wrong with this woman? Huh? What, I got a mark on my face?
No, I really was just waiting to see where this was going because I don't know where this is going.
You never do.
That's true.
What are you talking about? I don't know where this is going.
You were like trying to set it up like you were trying to hype it up. So I'm like waiting. I'm like, okay.
It is hype.
And then you're like, why are you looking at me?
It's yeah, like, well, she's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Having a conversation.
What the hell's going on here, people? Yeah, I don't even have anything, any real topics.
No
I
mean, notes, huh?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's a new year. Just trying to.
This is true.
Trying to regroup, get my faculties. It sucked being sick on I talked about it a little bit on the podcast last time. It sucked being sick over the holidays because I just couldn't get in the groove of things. Mm. So it just kind of came and went. But well, there's another one next year. So I always got that to look forward to.
Holidays always keep coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm kind of glad they're over. January is kind of a slow time for retail. Unless if people want to exchange stuff.
I don't know. It's not good for me because I'm not adjusting. The older I get, the more grumpy I get, I've noticed, especially towards cold weather.
Yeah, it's you've been complaining a lot about the weather.
It just doesn't work for me, man. It's killing me. telling you, I'm, I can't be the only one. You know, go out there. You got to fight the elements. If it gets coughing all on you.
That's nasty. I don't understand why people don't.
They don't.
I got coughed on too. It's disgusting. Yeah. Like, really? Man, right in my face? Like, that's disgusting.
Yeah. I always say something,
too. I felt some
too.
Spittle, you know? Yeah. Like, God damn.
If someone spits on me, it's over. It's over. I walk in circles really very fast in a very small area. So if you guys listening have ever been cornered by someone and they're talking to you and they're... It's bad enough people are just close talk. I don't know what it is, but is it me or have
Sometimes
you noticed?
It's a cultural thing. You're used to places. A
lot
where
of close
not,
talkers.
Americans are used to like that bubble of.
So
space.
I always got to take a few steps back and lo and behold, if somebody coughs, I'm just like I'm out of there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I even say it. Here we go. Here we go. And so I just got to circle them. It's almost like we're in some sort of dance routine. I'm just like circling the person, and I'm just like, come on. Do we have to do this? Mm. I don't want to do this dance with you.
Mm.
So you got to deal with that. You got to deal with the germs and all that stuff and the cold air and the wind. And, you know, I don't get it. I don't get into it like I used to. I don't even think I used to. I guess when I was younger, when I was a kid, singing show tunes.
You colder places than here.
You know, I'd go out with my Star Wars action figures and pretend I was on Hoth. Huh?
In the snow you would do this?
Well, Hoth is an ice planet.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm
not nerdy enough to
know.
Yeah,
let's get it together, Mary and
Taji. Sorry, I don't know that.
So if I,
made
if
up I'm, planets. Yeah, if I'm on the, sorry.
Yeah, if I'm on the Hoth system,
of course.
I'm going to be out in the snow. Gosh. Let's get it together, Mariam.
So sorry I did not know that off the top of my head.
Well, now you do. So now you know Hoth. I'm so telling you.
I should be ashamed.
Yeah. Mm. I was thinking about that. Speaking of just growing up, I was thinking about my grandparents earlier today. And just kind of wondering how they would... My grandparents aren't with us anymore, but... I was thinking about how they would be in today's society with the technology, with the everything being politically correct. Because my grandparents, they weren't politically correct. No, they weren't. No, I'm not.
Well, I'm thinking of mine. Mine definitely.
Joking.
Either.
Okay. Let me just tell you.
They were swapping grandparents' stories.
Well, I'm just saying they were just old school. You know, some people say they were set in their ways. You know what I mean? Yeah, the air quotes. You know? They come from a different time.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand.
Yeah.
My parents are still kind of old school.
Yeah, they were old school. So, I mean, they would just shoot from the hip, too. Grandparents.
Yeah. They don't. It just comes out. Whatever they think comes out.
Grandparents are a lot like, you know, preteens or kids. You know what I mean? They just shoot from the hip and whatever they say, let the chips fall where they may. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They don't care.
Yeah, but they get a pass.
Yeah. Well,
they get, you know.
They should sometime. Yeah. You know, most of the time I feel like, you know.
I mean, they would embarrass me.
Of
they
course.
Would, they put me on the spot.
Oh, of course.
You know, if I'm, and God forbid if I'm dating somebody, you know, they'll just
friends and
My grandmother was famous for it, man. She'd be
like what would she say? Like
I shouldn't even be bringing this shit up. Like you know, if I got friends over, so I'm like, ah, Malk. She always called me Malk. Malk the music man. Because, you know, I'd used to spin, and I'd be spinning records and mixing and stuff like that, like to the wee hours. And she, that's the first thing she would say. But if I was seeing somebody, if I was going out, they would just break her down and just be like, you know, oh, you know, one time I went out with a Puerto Rican chick. Oh, I got him a Puerto Rican. Spanish. You know, they would just break it down. And I remember when my son was born, or prior to, I've seen his mom. His mom, we're not together, but she's of Italian descent. They're Sicilian. You know, they're straight from Palermo, like Sicilian.
Yeah.
And I remember she called me up, and I thought, like, congratulations. Malk, you got a Dago.
I don't know what that means.
What the hell is that?
What
it's
is
like
that?
A term for Italians.
Oh.
You know? It's like the I guess you could say it's like the N-word for Italians.
Oh.
So he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's not even the worst of it. My grandfather would call black people spooks like it was nothing. You know what I mean? So it was just, I don't know, you know. You can't make this stuff up.
No.
I'm not making it up. So, yeah, you got yourself a Puerto Rican. Yep. You got a Dago. Just like it was nothing. And laugh at me and giggle.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My world. You know, that's probably why I was singing show tunes, you know?
To, like, distract yourself and
think I didn't think thoughts. Anything of it. They didn't mean harm from it. They weren't, like, saying, oh, you got, you know, a guinea wop, you know, saying something in mean-spirited way. They're nicest people in the world. I guess there are a lot of racists that are sweet as candy, but, you know, I guess it's a form of racism. It's also a different era. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Like people just...
Yeah, that definitely does have something to do with it, generation.
Like if I meet someone who's Italian, I don't think Dago. You know what I mean? I don't think any
I've
of those...
I've never heard that before. That just probably
just
makes me...
You're great that you're that innocent.
Maybe.
I've heard
mixed.
Everything.
My parents maybe just didn't... I don't know. I was always in a mixed environment, which I'm mm-mm. very, very thankful for. Don't
in the city,
wrong.
You hear everything. You hear everything just when you're around. I'm surprised that you haven't, but that's a good thing, too.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Plus, the international community is a little bit different than the like, Americans here in America. We are definitely more hardcore when it comes to segregation and discrimination. And,
I mean, yeah. Can you not? Yeah. I mean, the history, it's not that long ago, dude. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty excessive and extreme here.
And right or wrong. I mean, sometimes people, the way they describe each other, even today's society. I mean, it's evolved now, thank goodness. But that's why I was thinking. I was like, you know, as PC as everything is and the way everything's evolving, like with each year, now we're going into 2014, and there's certain things, there's do's and don'ts, you know, and people are more aware of other people's feelings. And there's repercussions, whether it's employment or just, you know, being an outcast of the people you hang out with. There's certain things that you have to be aware of. There's good and bad when it comes to that. You know what I mean?
That's true, too.
Because yeah. I'm not going to tiptoe around stuff. At the same time, I don't consider myself racist by any means, nor do I do that to describe people, whether it's their religion or race. I don't know why. I have no idea why I was even thinking about it. I was just thinking about my grandparents and probably the thing I asked you to look at with the Melissa Harris apology. I think that's what it was. I was listening to all these different people apologize from on the news, whether it's
everywhere.
Newscasters or whether it's comedians or just anything that has to do with anything. Everyone's
scrutinizing.
Yeah, and everyone's so quick to point the finger and demand an apology, you know, or demand someone to be fired. And I think that you have to be responsible.
You should be accountable, you know, to what you say and to a certain extent. But I think it's taken also to another extreme, you know, where it's like...
Well, to some greater or lesser degree. Like I said, if I'm saying something and...
We talk about a lot of stuff on this podcast.
Well, this podcast is also, I listed it under comedy.
Maybe that's a safer avenue, which is smart. But yeah, maybe that does help. Like,
and at the same time, we'll talk about this in the podcast to come. I'm going to start building sponsorship when it comes to different things. But when you're being sponsored by Johnson & Johnson or GE or
bigger companies like that,
Ford and stuff like that, then, you know, they kind of have the power to kind of shape and mold the direction that your company is going into, unless you get independent sponsors that are in line with the type of, you know, format that you have structured.
Right.
Someone who I think, does a phenomenal job at that is Adam Carolla, and you guys have heard me talk about him on the podcast numerous times. He's built what he's called his pirate ship, meaning he owns the building, he owns the microphones, he owns, you know, the studio and everything in it. And, you know, he picks the people he wants to align himself up with when it comes to sponsorship. Therefore, whatever he says on his podcast, he doesn't apologize for. Unless he says something that is, you know, that he reflects back on and says, you know. But I've never heard him in the years, the short time I've listened to him and followed his career, never heard him apologize. And he's very careful with his words anyway.
Like
he just did a he didn't jest, but earlier this year he did a interview with the Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, and they went off into this this battle of words about the inner city and the community, the black community, and the Lieutenant Governor was just going back and forth, and he brought up the fact that black people and Hispanic people don't have bank accounts, and Adam homed in on it. And all Adam said was certain communities, meaning the black community and, you know, Hispanics and any minority group or any group that is having problems should focus on education and family. And that's the core. That is the core of any group taking the steps to move forward, you know what I mean? To build.
To grow.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
You need to focus on education and family. I agree with that 100%. What happened was NPR jumped on it, and NPR hammered him, and other groups jumped on it, you know, in the black community. And God help us, you know what I mean? Black people don't ever want to hear someone outside of their race to tell them how they should conduct themselves. You know, it hits home, and it...
it's like you don't want someone to tell you how to raise your own child.
Yeah, yeah, but sometimes you need to be told. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes you do need that feedback. I don't give a fuck who gives it. If someone's telling me something, I'm not going to be like, all right, this white motherfucker, that's not even the point. That's your ego talking. That's pride. That's, you know, ignorance, you know. Excuse me, folks. But if you're wise, if you're smart, and you're able to see through that, you're able to see that someone is basically telling, you know, suggesting that you focus on these two things. Is it the end of all, end of all the solution to all problems? Yes and no. But at the same time, going back to what I was saying, he didn't apologize for that. Now, nor do I think he should apologize for that, because what he's saying is true. It's from the heart. This is his belief. This is his belief. And these are the facts. This is something that has worked for not just other, just in a small section of the world, but all over. Any group that's ever been in a situation to where they are not accepted, to where they are being, I can't even say singled out, but just can't get out of the rut that they're in. Where does it begin? Where does it begin and end? It begins at home, and it begins with education. All right? That's how you uplift yourself, right? If you're in a rut right now, right? You
That's
or me, myself, speaking as an individual, not my color, not my religion, but just me as an individual, how do I get out of a rut? I got to educate myself, right? I got to be around family. I got to take those two elements and build off of those. That's how you're going to build. Right. So he shouldn't. I don't think. And he didn't. And he won't apologize, you know, for his statements, nor should he. You know, Bill Cosby is a great example of that, too. And he's black, and he's been catching heat. I think he was in the news recently because he's saying the same thing. He's talking about black people, you know, being aware, educating themselves. And he always says, pull their pants up and stop being on the corners and stop, you know, anyone from a different generation, anyone who's older, even I find myself, you know, and I'm not old by any means, but even I find myself looking at kids of a younger generation and chastising them. But like I said before, and I've said this on a podcast, you got to start listening to your elders. There was a time when elders were respected, when people from a different walk of life were respected because of their profession or because of their age. But now everybody just blows them off, says they're crazy and I don't know what they're talking about.
And send them in a home and then never see them again.
So
It's not
all right. This apologizing, and depending on what, you know, what line of work you're in with the Melissa Harris thing, and we'll play that that clip for you. It's pretty recent in the news. It goes back with the Duck Dynasty. It goes back to a couple other what's the comedian's name? I tell you, Natasha Legros. Yeah. Statement that she made about she made a joke. Think about veterans from Pearl Harbor or something like that.
Yeah, with the SpaghettiOs tweet.
Yeah, and she what did she say? It sucks that the only survivors of Pearl Harbor are being mocked by the only food they can still chew, which were they're talking about SpaghettiOs or something to that nature. Mm. And I guess some people were up in an uproar, wanting her to apologize. She says she's not apologizing. She shouldn't apologize. She's a comedian. And she's not doing it. She's not saying anything. It's offensive here. Unless you eat SpaghettiOs. Maybe SpaghettiOs, you know. Maybe SpaghettiOs should apologize. How about that?
They did for their tweet, right?
Who?
SpaghettiOs did.
No, they should apologize for making SpaghettiOs.
Oh.
That's what they should apologize for. God damn.
I have not eaten SpaghettiOs in so long. No.
Shit's filled up with sugar and all sorts of stuff. It ain't right. That's what they need to apologize. So, I mean, what is this? I mean, yeah, we could go into her, but she's a first word on the write-up news story. It addresses her as comedian Natasha Legro. Is that how you pronounce her name?
I think so. Sounds right.
Legiero? Legro. I don't know. My point is, she is identified as a comedian. So when did, and we've heard this argument, when did comedians start having a bullseye on them?
Strange.
Now you fast forward it, or you turn it over to the next other side of the coin, and you have, as you know, Melissa Harris, and she is a news anchor on MSNBC. Here's the problem I have with this, okay? I don't like watching the news where they're taking the liberty to express their personal opinions and to use it as a form for stand-up or a form for entertainment. You know what I mean? Or a form for them to project their personal views. This is where I have an issue with the news of today.
Yeah,
I have a big issue with that. I have a big issue with it because... it ain't news. It's basically
news is
like
supposed
this,
to be factual and objective.
Yeah, just give me the news. Just break it down for me, okay? There's no jokes. I don't want any jokes.
News is not funny.
I don't want any joke. Now I am liberal, but at the same time, I get turned off by stuff like this when they're laughing and joking and ha 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 and all this. Just it's too much, man. Yeah. It's about their side or my side, this side or that side. But is it? It's our side. It should be one side. Who's doing the job?
Okay. It never is, though, man.
And this is the problem. Everyone's doing something. You have Fox, you have MSNBC, you have CNN. Everyone wants to be in show business. So what happens when you do that, then you're walking that thin line and then you have an issue like this where Melissa Harris, I guess it's Melissa Harris Perry, is that her name? Guess so. She's married.
Yeah.
She mocked Mitt Romney's family because he has an adopted African American child. And I mean, where are we going? I mean, that shouldn't even come up in the news. All right.
Why is that even? I don't understand.
It shouldn't even come up. I mean, what planet are we living on that this is going on? You know, she should apologize.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if she's fired. It's news, all right? Now she's making the news, which is more news. It's like a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone gets, you know, everyone's getting ratings. Everyone's seeing what's going to happen next. Everyone's tuning in. But at the same time, who's suffering? It's the dumbing down of America. The viewers, the people, when they're feeding you a product, if you're being fed SpaghettiOs, all right, and that's what you're being fed for 7 days a week, your body's not going to grow. Your mind's not going to grow. You're going to suffer. So if you're watching a television show that's supposed to be feeding you something, you know, feeding you information, and that information SpaghettiOs, then you're just getting crap on top of crap on top of crap, and it hurts the viewer. It hurts you because that's what you're putting into your system.
Right.
That's what we are you know, well, putting in our system, and then we're led to believe like, oh, she, you know, she talks my, or she or he talks my talk. You know what I mean? I identify with this person, and I don't want to identify with them.
No.
I want them to be as robotic as possible, to be right down the middle.
Give me the facts.
That's right. Give me the facts. Give me the news. You know, I don't need all this extra stuff. Let's listen to I think I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Let's find. Here it is. So this is where MSNBC and the panel, Melissa Harris Perry from MSNBC, and the panel mock. So this is the original one that aired last month. So, I mean, you can listen to it. You know, I don't think you really, I mean, I don't know what the visuals to do, but you feel free.
It's fun.
And then one that was pretty cute. Everybody loves a baby picture. And this was one that really a lot of people had emotions about, this baby picture this year. This is the Romney family.
Yeah, right. It's the whole family.
And of course, they're on Governor Romney's
cute
knee
little baby.
Is his adopted grandson, mm-hmm. who is an African-American, adopted African-American child, Kieran Romney. Any captions for this one?
One of these things is not... that little baby front and center would be the one.
And isn't he the most gorgeous? Wow. My goal is that in 2040, the biggest thing of the year will be the wedding between Kieran Romney and Northwest. Can you imagine Mitt Romney and Kanye West
I think this picture is great. It's really sums up the diversity of the Republican Party.
Yeah,
really.
Every RNC. Right. Right. They find the one black person.
We still have so much to get to, including the annual look back in laughter tradition of asking, hey, was that racist? So don't go anywhere. There is, of course, more nerd land.
What you have there is
wow.
Yeah. They're trying to be funny. They're trying to be quick-witted. They're trying to be clever. They're trying to be sharp. You know what I mean? They're trying to be shocking. You know, all these things. Whereas you're supposed to be a serious broadcast. Serious broadcasting television show, right? Reporting the news.
Yeah, this makes sense.
Maybe I should take the show out of it. But and they have these panels. They always have like Meet the Press. They have all these different ones. You know what I mean? 60 Minutes. There's always some sort of panel. Mm-hmm. But it's supposed to be serious, you know? This isn't a time to like freestyle and riff and say something. Oh, I want to see what Kanye's... That's something you do in the privacy of your home if you're having a little party and get together. That's fine. You know what I mean? Or if you have a different form, podcast that's listed under comedy or something like that. You know what I mean? There's a form, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I mean, where
wrong.
Are we at here?
I'm so shocked, actually.
Where are we at? Where are we going?
Funny. It's not right. You're
right. They should be held accountable.
There's a time and a place. That's, yeah, in that context, yes.
And it's not so much you should be held accountable because Rush Limbaugh or Fox News comes down on you. I think viewers that watch MSNBC should be upset, and I'm sure there are many, I'm sure. I haven't done a lot of research on it, but, you know, I watch MSNBC, and I'm upset by it. That's my point. It's not the place, you know. It's someone should say something. So now let's listen to
her apology.
Her apology. So let's listen to that and see.
Good morning. I'm Melissa Harris Perry. We have a lot of news and politics to discuss this morning. But before we get to that, I am going to start with an apology. Last Sunday, we invited a panel of comedians for a year-in-review program. It's what we call our Look Back in Laughter. But in one of the segments, we looked at a number of photos that caught our attention over the course of the year. And in that segment, I asked my guests to provide kind of off-the-cuff ideas for captions of the photos that we were seeing. Among the images we aired was one of the Romney family that showed Governor Mitt Romney's grandchildren, including his adopted grandson, who is African-American. Now, given my own family history, I'd identified with that picture, and I intended to say positive and celebratory things about it. But whatever the intent was, The reality is that the segment proceeded in a way that was offensive, and showing the photo in that context of that segment was poor judgment. So without reservation or qualification, I apologize to the Romney family. Adults who enter into public life implicitly consent to having less privacy, but their families, and especially their children, should not be treated callously or thoughtlessly.
So I'm going to stop it right there for a second. I know I was moving. I have a mixer and I got all these buttons and I was moving up the wrong one to get it raised. I need an engineer. Anyway, back to Melissa Harris. The way she just said this, that's how you should report the news. Straightforward. I'm having all sorts of issues, people. Belching and coughing. Oh. Can't read the controllers on the mixer. But that is how you should... Am I wrong? I mean, please. I'm going out of my mind here. You got to tell me something. No, do you hear her? She's reporting the news now. Unfortunately for her, she's reporting about herself and her mistake. And, the fact she put her foot in her mouth.
Yeah.
So let's continue.
Intention was not malicious, but I broke the ground rule that families are off limits. And for that, I am sorry. Also, allow me to apologize to other families formed through transracial adoption, because I am deeply sorry that we suggested that interracial families are in any way funny or deserving of ridicule. On this program, we are dedicated to advocating for a wide diversity of families. It is one of our core principles, and I am reminded that when we are doing so, it must always be with the utmost respect, genuinely appreciative of everyone who offered serious criticisms of last Sunday's program. And I am reminded that our fiercest critics can sometimes be our best teachers.
So, she should be breaking up and crying. She should feel bad. She should, and being a professional, I think she should have had enough insight to know that there's going to be repercussions.
Yeah.
Prior to, before you even do something like that. Like, something goes off. Like, if I'm at my day job, you know what I mean? If I'm at work somewhere, as much as I'd like to say certain things, something always goes off and says, man, maybe you shouldn't say this and hold back, pull back a little bit, Malcolm. You know? Something goes off, you know what I mean? And I think that we're in a world now, and you've heard me joke about it, where there's so much freedom. And there's so much. And what I mean by the freedom is there's so much money being passed around that people seem to think. They seem to think that money affords them a security net, a pass to say and do things. Martin Bashir is someone who just got fired from MSNBC recently. And we'll get into that on another podcast because I do want to go into the Martin Bashir firing for a lot of reasons. But with this, it's just, this one, you go back to the Natasha Legro, you go to Duck Dynasty. Guy from Duck Dynasty. I don't even know Duck Dynasty. Never even seen it. All of a sudden, he's in the news. First time it broke, and it said AMC was pulling him off of the show or whatever. I was like, this is just another way to get more people talking about it, buying the products and stuff like this. And he never apologized. Why should he? He is. I guess he's a quote unquote actor who has his own beliefs and views, right or wrong. They may not align up with mine, but his job is to entertain. All right? I bet you if you go back to any period of time, whether it's the golden silent films to the golden era of Hollywood, to fast forward to the 60s, 70s, 80s, before Twitter, before the YouTube, before all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people out there that their views and politics and religion, it doesn't align up with us, me, you, but their job is to entertain.
Yeah. Is it part of their craft?
I don't want to go home with them. Well, some of them, Lake Bell, if you're listening.
Oh, God. Poor woman.
But I don't want to go. I don't want to go home with them or anything like that. I want to be entertained. I enjoy.
But it's another thing where you separate your personal views from your work and your show, as well. You know what I mean? So if it's your job, like, your personal views also should be kept separate.
So it's to a greater or lesser degree, depending on what you are doing.
But these are reality shows, right? Yes. This is more of a reality
show. If it's a reality show, then you have to show yourself and be yourself, because that's what the people are buying. That's what you're selling. Just like this podcast.
It's a weird...
This podcast is, it's raw, it's unedited, and, you know, this is, I throw in a joke here and there. I wouldn't really call myself a comedian as of yet, but at the same time, it's an avenue that I'm exploring. That's why I set this podcast up. But at the same time, these are all just real stories, real thoughts, and let the chips fall where they may. You know what I mean? If there's something I feel that I should apologize for, I've apologized to certain people on this podcast because I might have been too hard on them, or I may have said something, and I will. Like, I'll apologize today. I apologize about my views on... forgot what I was going to apologize for.
What?
I was going to apologize for American Hustle. American Hustle, you know, I've talked about it. I went to go see it again. I was a little hard on American Hustle, but not too much on the show so much. Maybe outside as well, kind of a little overly critical. Now, this isn't as political as Melissa Harris or Duck Dynasty's views on gays, or Melissa Harris, talking about Mitt Romney's... I think it's his grandchild.
Yeah.
But it's a, you got to own up to your shit. You know? Yeah. Sorry. I know that's
your moral. Yeah, yeah. The moral of the story. Yeah. Own up to your shit.
As eloquent as I can put it, you know? That's the quote of the day, folks. Own up to your shit. It's...
Be aware of your audience too, you know.
Respect the craft. Okay, if you're reporting the news, report the news. Mm-hmm. All right, you can still be charming and witty and charismatic. You know what I mean? Without going overboard like this.
Let's
just talk about you know.
No need to mock.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
So that's it, man. That's what I'm talking about for 2014. Own up, man. You know, respect the craft. You know,
that's fair.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. What else? Yeah, I was talking about American Hustle. Yeah, I went to go see it twice. Went to see it a second time, should I say? And just wanted to take another look at it. Just like I said, I was feeling a little under the weather when I saw it, and then I told you I was talking with Ileana Douglas, mm-hmm. Who I became friends with on Twitter. And what I like, and this goes back to what I was telling you earlier and what I've talked about on countless times on this podcast, is
the power of social media.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. You know? I'm not like a fanatic or anything like that.
You've used it to a great... I mean, I'm impressed on the connections that you've made. I do not use it to the power that you have. And it's impressive to me. It inspires me, but I can't... I just don't know. I don't have that skill, that talent. I don't know what it is.
I like connecting and talking to human beings.
No, I know. I'm not saying...
You know what I mean? No, but I'm just saying in general, human beings. Okay. Makes no difference to me what walk of life they're in, you know, what their field is. You know, if somebody says something or tweets something or posts something on Facebook or Instagram that I like, I'll connect with you and say something. Sometimes people will respond back, sometimes not so much. I'm not looking for a response out of them. But sometimes I believe in life. Like, I've always believed in life that we are all connected some way. Even when I was a kid running around singing show tunes, humming, you know, soundtrack scores from John Williams, I still thought about these people from all these walks of life. And I believed then as I believe now that we are all connected in some way, shape, or form. When I go to a movie and watch that movie and we're all assembled right there in a movie house, hundreds of people, we all have the same common goal, the same common... Right there at that time, our interests, we're one. And I've always done that and kind of looked around. Whenever I go to a theater, I'll sit down and I'll just look at the people next to me and in front of me and behind me, even though I don't like sitting where there's people behind me in the movie theater.
Because they're going to cough on you.
But, yeah, it always comes back to the coughing or their foot will show up by my ear or something like that. But all that aside...
I feel like that in an airplane.
We're all connected.
Because if it goes down, these are like the last people that you're
Yeah, we're family.
Like, yeah.
We're family. Yeah. So we're family. And that's how I feel about social media. I mean, yeah, social media can be used in a way where it could be abusive. It could be used for, connecting with friends, family, childhood friends, people you went to school with. I've seen a lot of angry stuff on social media. I've seen a lot of racist and political and religious stuff. I've seen some people are just mad at the world. Some people are just happy to be single. You know, you see all these different things on there. But I've always tried to use it. I went through the phases. You know what I mean? When I first started getting into the internet, the chat rooms and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a whole disaster. That's a whole disaster.
That was really the beginning of the internet was the chat rooms. It wasn't.
I got caught up in the chat rooms early on.
The Google, and the YouTube, it was the chat room.
I got caught up in the chat rooms early on. It's groups of people and talking, and then you get, and everything always turns to sex.
Always.
Weird. Just very bizarre and very awkward for me.
So do you want to meet up? It's I don't know about that, dude.
Yeah, they have strange names, and the women are always some sort of cat. You know what I mean? It's always like some cat involved.
Pussy Willow 69.
Yeah. It's like, and I would fall for that too, because they would always go purr.
She must be sexy.
You know what I mean? I'd go, oh, purr. What do we have here? You know, my first chat name was Lizard King. I was Lizard King. Yep. Yeah. That was me. I was known as the Lizard King. You know? Jim Morrison lives. Yeah, people were calling me Lizard King. They wanted to meet up. They believed. I'm just going to let you down. I'm no more to Jim Morrison than I am the man on the fucking moon. You know? I guess I could.
Get some swag.
Yeah, I guess I have a little here and there. I have my moments. But I don't have any leather pants. Maybe I get some leather dickies.
Yeah. That'd be weird.
How would that work out?
It'd be hot.
Yeah, that wouldn't be. I couldn't do it, man. I'd be sweating and moving my junk around all the time.
Talc.
Wow. Wouldn't work out too well. Have to put too much talc in it. It starts to like roll up in little like talc balls.
Paste.
Yeah. Old man paste. It's not good. Don't like it. Anyway, back on track, Mariam Tazi. Back on track. Lizard King. So, yeah, I got caught up in the chat rooms. And then, disaster. You know what I mean? It just wasn't my form. And I recognized that early on. And so, you know, when I started getting into Facebook and Twitter, I went through all
way later than, like, the chat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm doing a leap from 90.
Yeah, big leap.
Like, I guess I'm doing a leap from 98 to...
20-year leap.
Yeah, I guess it was. We jumped forward there, people. Yeah.
Big time.
Well, I'm just saying in general.
A lot
I guess
of
I,
chat room talk.
I guess I went from the chat room, then I went straight to porn and stayed in porn. It was just
no talking.
No. It was just if I was in limbo. I kept, it was just for years, many years, I just couldn't get out. It had me by the hooks. Nothing wrong with that.
You know? Still has its hooks, probably.
Not as much. No. I mean, well, yeah, maybe. A little bit. I mean, why? What the hell are you talking about, woman? Put me on the spot. How dare you? You hear this shit, people? This is what I got to deal with, okay? I'm trying to talk about the good and all this good with social media, and here she is putting me on the spot. Believe this shit.
I'm sorry. Good. It's your show. I should respect.
Man. But yes, to jump forward to Twitter and Facebook, what I like about that is I like connecting with just human beings, just people that have a common interest. And not only that, I like to learn from different people. Yeah, like I've learned a lot. Just one name alone, Cassius. You know what I mean? I've learned a lot just from the podcasting craft from a 15-year-old. Now, I don't look at him as a 15-year-old. I don't. I say that to describe him to the audience. But at the same time, you shouldn't describe Cassius Morris, that a.k.a. That Reporter Kid Speaks, that's on iTunes now. He has his own podcast, been podcasting since he was 10. But just to give you some backstory about that, and I've talked about him more than several times on a podcast, but through that connection, it has helped me kind of hone my craft in this arena, which we know as podcasting. It's not rocket science, but at the same time, if you surround yourself with other people that have similar interests, you grow, you learn from that. So now we leap forward again.
Yeah.
And some of the connections that I've made through social media, you know, like the likes of Adam Carolla and most recently with Ileana Douglas. And as you know, Ileana Douglas is a actress, writer, director, you know,
multi-talented.
Yeah, I mean, she is phenomenal. And you've seen her in countless films, everything from Goodfellas to Cape Fear, just to name those two. But she's got an incredible
repertoire.
IMDb. Yeah, yeah, it's nonstop. She has a television series on YouTube that's very funny, very well done. And my point to this is, through that connection that I made, made me look at myself a little deeper. We had a conversation about American Hustle and the director and his filmmaking style and what that film represents to you know, this year's or last year's releases. So I'd seen the film and I was thinking, I was like, well, you know, maybe I should take a second look. And so we talked a little bit more. And so I went to go see it that next day after our conversation. And, you know, it's the same thing. I still gave it 3 stars after I saw it the second time. I bump it up to like 3.5 stars, but there's still an ingredient missing. I'm not going to go back into that. But, you know, we talked some more. Ileana Douglas and I talked some more online, and through that, she recommended that I see a film called, what was it?
I don't remember.
Nightmare Alley.
Oh.
So, what's cool about this film, Nightmare Alley is a film that that was made in 1947. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Huh?
That's a long time ago.
And it stars a very charismatic Tyrone Power. And Tyrone Power was I guess you could say he was one of the biggest stars of that era. You're talking the golden era of Hollywood, all right? Very handsome guy. Very, very charming on film. Like his presence, it grabs you. You know, I'm watching this film, and I've always said this. I don't think I've talked about it in depth on the podcast.
What's that?
And this is why I was hoping that Brandon would have been here for this podcast, because he has a deep history of film noir and a history of film. But I've always found it difficult for me to watch older movies, just because there's little things that are a little different dialogue-wise and stuff like that. And I don't know I can't say it's so much black and white films and stuff like that, because, I mean, that doesn't really matter so much. But I don't know what it is. It just could be a couple few things. But I've never given them a chance. Okay. And so for some reason, the fact that Ileana took the time out to respond to tweets and talk and go back. And you assume, you know, assume it's Ileana Douglas I'm talking to, you know.
Yeah, well, I would assume.
You hope for
too.
The best. You know what I mean? Oh,
her assistant.
But it doesn't matter, because what it does is it stimulates you And when you engage with someone else through that conversation, it makes you look at things a little differently. Because I think we're all in this world to be heard, to be listened to be respected. And that's what we're all looking for, you know. When I produce a podcast, I can talk all day and be like, oh, yeah, I'm just doing this for me, and I don't care what anyone else thinks. But at the end of the day, you kind of hope someone's listening. You hope someone's paying attention, you know. Even if they give you negative feedback or positive feedback, it's still feedback, and you hope that your craft is respected. So the fact when someone does respond to me in any way, shape, or form, I just still find it fascinating. Because you go back 30 years ago, you would see people, whether it's on television or radio or the news or anything, and you had no way of communicating with anyone. And now you can. So I still find that fascinating. So the fact that she engaged and we both had a nice conversation about film led me to watch this film, Nightmare Alley. And Nightmare Alley is a story that transcends. It transcends time. It's a film that it's one of those films that I think should be retold and told again, because it stands up. Like you could release this film today and you're going to find great pleasure watching it. Like,
it seems really dark.
It is. It actually is. It's about a man's lust and greed to have, basically to have it all. You know what I mean? Kind of like a la Wolf of Wall Street.
I was
Wall
just
Street.
Thinking that. Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking that also when I watched it. I was like, oh, the parallels. Mm. Because where the Wolf of Wall Street, this guy wanted to have it all. He, at any cost, he just was greed for an excess, just kind of overpowered him. And same thing in Nightmare Alley. Tyrone Power plays Stanton, who is on a quest to be the number one, I guess you could say, show. And, you know, he starts out, he's like, you know, in a circus.
Yeah, carnival.
And, back in the day, carnivals, you know, that was an attraction. I don't know, carnivals
huge
so much these days.
Today, mm-mm.
Maybe not, but you could still.
They exist.
You get it. You get where the story's going. And he is just hell-bent on being successful, being the, you know, number one attraction, where he wants to be a number one attraction and have this power to be a mentalist, to be able to, like, read minds and stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
That's a big thing. That was a big drawback. And even in some circles today, like,
yeah,
you have the David Blaines and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But this guy was consumed by his own greed. Okay. And so he starts at the bottom, you know what I mean, grinding it out in the beginning of the film, and it shows his rise to stardom and how it consumes him, and then it comes full circle at the end with the peak of the movie. The climax is just, it's very shocking for that period. But even you fast forward to 2013, 2014, that
timeless.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat, like, watching this film.
Now I want to watch it.
So it's something to watch because it shows greed and how greed.
It's not silent, right? It still has.
No. It's not a silent film. No, it's all there, you know. Granted, the dialogue is from that era, but you give it a pass because the story is that strong.
Okay.
The writing is that good. The acting delivers.
Okay.
And it's a great watch because of course the actors who, you know, who are in it, and you can relate to it. You can relate to, you've seen this story before, but it's fascinating to watch because these are the
templates.
Yeah, a film.
Yeah,
and so this is where I'm going with this, people. Ileana Douglas opened my eyes to this, and thank you for that, Ileana, should you ever listen to this podcast. But it made me look at it as, like, with my son. You know how I gave him the albums? I talked about this on a podcast
where
my son started getting into music. So I said, yeah, I'll get him a Beatles album. He's talking about hip hop. I give him the foundation of it. So he knows where it came from. And then he can go off and kind of seek out, you know, what you know, talks to him and what inspires him and what moves him. Because my film, the films that I started watching, I really didn't start to like early 70s and going into the 80s.
Not
and some of those were remakes. Like I grew up on slapstick. So I grew up on Three Stooges. I grew up on I Love Lucy. I grew up on,
we talked about
the original King Kong.
Oh yeah.
I grew up,
trailer looks good.
I grew up on Twilight Zone.
By the way.
Yeah, on what?
The new King Kong. Or Godzilla. It's the new Godzilla.
You're tripping. I was gonna say, what's she talking about?
Shit.
I don't know.
It looks like it's gonna be good.
But that era I've seen some like Casablanca and stuff like that, but I seeing them and actually watching them and understanding them, it's different. You know what I mean? So you have to go back and revisit. So that connection that I made has me thinking I need to go back and I need to look at more films from that era. That way I can get an understanding of the history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead of me always, like sometimes I'll bitch and complain about the remakes of today and stuff like this and that. But at the same time, you know, I think I need to have a more understanding of the history of film and people like, I never heard of Tyrone Power. You know, he was the biggest thing of that time. And unfortunately he died of a heart attack. You know, his career was cut short, but just fascinating. I've looked into other films of his, that I have, I found on Amazon and on Netflix, and I will I'll bring those up on later podcasts. But that is what I call the most fascinating and the coolest thing about social media is to be able to connect with someone like Ileana. She's actually doing a screening of Nightmare Alley on the 9th in Los Angeles. She was telling me. And, I mean, that's just going to be fascinating to screen this with a group of people, to have them watch it and then do a Q&A after.
That's really
I mean,
cool.
I would love to be a part of that. But that's just it. You know what I mean? Those are the B's and E's. That is that's what the nuts and bolts, that's what makes up film is this history that I think goes overlooked because a lot of times we, like I said before about the elderly, we overlook it and say, they don't know what they're doing. They're, you know, their time's coming and gone. We dismiss it. Yes, Maryam Tazi. We dismiss it. And I've been dismissive to gems that are right under my nose that, you know, I've
shame.
Oh, it is. I'm ashamed.
Ta-dum.
Yes. I apologize. But I can own up to that. You know what I mean? And that's the point. I think that's the point of connecting with other human beings is the fact that they can make you look at yourself and say, something's missing in my life. Something's missing in my world. It doesn't always...
Being open-minded helps too.
Yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't always have to be about, you know, the negative where you say, I know you, this film sucked or this and that. You know what I mean? It's like you meet someone, you talk to them for a second, you go back and forth, you mix it up, and what have you learned? What have you connected with, what during that connection, what inspired you, what moved you? And I just find everything about that fascinating.
It's really cool.
It is cool. Yeah. It is cool, actually. So that's something I thought I'd share with you guys. And if you do get a chance, check out Nightmare Alley, starring Tyrone Power. Hopefully in the next coming shows, I will have a few people like Brandon Alter, some of the people that I know that have a history of filmmaking from this era that we can mix it up with and dive deeper into this era. So
next time, Brandon.
He's coming. He's coming back. I'm telling you. It's the truth, Ruth.
Miss him.
Yeah. Yeah, we got you. You hear that, Brandon? You son of a gun.
It's been a long time.
Other than that, what else is happening? We had a screening of, what was it? Walter Mitty?
Yeah.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
How do you say it? What is it?
The Adventures of Walter Mitty? No.
Pretty bad when you can't remember the title. Secret Life.
Secret Life.
Of Walter Mitty. That's right. The Secret Life of Walter
Mitty.
Motherfucking Mitty.
Motherfucking Mitty.
I got to put the...
what?
Mother effing in it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's great.
Good, I love Ben Stiller.
Very good film. Very good film. I can say great, but very fun film.
Yeah.
Fun film.
Entertaining.
You know, not to be taken... Well, I take that back. Well, I guess I could say not to be taken seriously, but I think you should take this film seriously because it's a film about a young man, Ben Stiller, plays Walter Mitty, who also is consumed within his own thoughts and his own desires and his own dreams. And he goes on these mind-bending quests throughout the day because he is in a world from which he can't stand to be in, it seems like. You know what I mean? He's in a box. He's in, he's not...
Well, his office is in the underground, you know, it's like basement. Like, yeah, he's just not...
It's not that he's in a job that he hates. He enjoys his job. He's an editor for Life magazine. And he's
not recognized for his, his skill and his craft and his relationship with Sean.
And it goes back to the story of jocks and nerds. You know what I mean? He plays
the nerd.
And the corporate executives of the jocks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're
Douche
big.
McGee, that guy.
Yeah, Douche McGee
beard.
Is Douche McGee is played by, who is Douche McGee?
Oh,
you know his name.
Sorry.
But it's that age old story of the jocks and the nerds. And Ben Stiller, of course, he plays the nerd so well.
Yeah.
And he is he is getting his work and he's being mocked.
Adam Scott.
By Adam Scott, a.k.a. a douche.
Douche McGee.
McGee, as Mariam Tazi has coined him.
With the ugly beard.
Yeah, he wore a beard in this film. He plays Ted Hendricks. And Ted Hendricks is assigned to come in and clear out all of Life magazine, the magazine itself, the department that actually does the printing and the photos and everything, and they're taking that department and making it an online magazine.
Right.
So again, you're downsizing. The corporation comes in and gives everybody the boot. They're cold, they're heartless, and that's just the way of the world. So Ben Stiller is basically always daydreaming about being someplace else, doing something different, and not acting on it. I think this is something that people need to do. This is what I did in 2013. I daydream a lot, but I know in 2013, I basically, anything that I thought of, I did it. It was a very successful year as far as stuff that if I imagined it, I put it in motion, and it happened. It's really, really bizarre. When I look back on 2013, and that's what Walter Mitty does in this film. He basically puts himself, he's in a position where he's daydreaming stuff, but then he finds himself actually putting his dreams into, making his dreams into reality.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating watch. A lot of CGI in it, but it makes sense with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it works. I was worried about a quarter way in. I thought it was kind of weird, but then it kicked in and it didn't stop. I mean, just a wonderful story of being in the here and now and acting on, you know, what you want out of life, what moves you forward and the type of people you want to bring into your circle. He was going after Kristen Wiig, who played more or less an interest, love interest of his, someone he desired. But he wanted certain quality people in his life, and he went after it. It was his job. He was the, you know, Christian Wiggs character. But that's the story. That's what life is about. There was a wonderful, wonderful scene. Sean Penn is in the film, and he plays a photographer who shoots the majority of Life Magazine's pictures. And
their covers and stuff.
Yes. And one of the pictures that they're going to use on the final magazine cover is lost. So Ben Stiller has to go around the world and try to find Sean Penn's character. I forget Sean Penn's character.
Sean something. Sean O'Connell, I think.
Yeah. So he goes on this great adventure trying to find this dude, and finally finds him in like the Himalayas or somewhere, right? Excuse me. Finds him in there, and Sean Penn is sitting up on top of a mountain trying to find a snow leopard. Yeah, snow leopard. And I should know that. And he goes, he finds him. How'd you find me? Blah, 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 right? Sorry, I don't want to disrespect the film, but
yeah.
I'm not going to try to quote it word for word. They're up on top of the film, people. I mean, on top of the mountain. They're, she laughs at me. You see... My own show.
On top of the film, people.
My own show, people. This is the respect I get. So they're sitting on top of the mountain. We're going to carry on, even with Miriam laughing at me. Not laughing with me. You guys take note of this. Ah, more. Take note of this, people.
That's funny.
Even on top of the damn mountain, Sean Penn and Ben Stiller... Watch! I've been tracking this mountain lion for weeks. Finally, the mountain lion makes his appearance. Sean Penn does not take the picture. Ben Stiller asks him why. He goes, you know, sometimes I just want this moment for me and not to have the distraction of holding the camera up and seeing life through that. Something like that, yeah. You know.
Very profound.
I'm not looking at the script here, but people, this is what I'm saying. How many times do you go to an event? Hockey game, baseball game, wedding, you know, a special moment in your life. And you see iPads up. Miriam's holding her iPad up.
Always.
Holding an iPad up or a phone up. And you capture that moment, but you miss that.
You're not living in the moment.
Yes. You miss that opportunity to be a part of what's going on in the world, in your world, because you're holding up this piece of technology. Yeah, you get it on tape or you get it on film, but how many times do you go back? I see people every day and I say, you never go back and look at these videos. Why do you have so many videos on your phone? You know, why do you have so, and I'm saying this to, because I'm in retail and I work in technology. I see this time and time again where people are, you know, they're having issues with their device because it's filled up because they have too many videos, but they never go back and look at these videos. They even admit it, and they've missed that moment because they're holding it up. And that goes back to Sean Penn, his character, what he said. Sometimes I just want to enjoy this. This is for me. Huh?
Yeah. It was beautiful. It was a very, very beautiful scene. Sean Penn's the shit.
He is.
He's the man.
He's a man's man.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Isn't he?
I love him.
Do you really? Wow. She got the, ugh.
I love him.
Look at that, people.
Respect. Mad respect for him and his craft. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. There aren't many people like him.
He's one of the guys that he says what he means and means what he says. You
genuine.
Know what I mean? And he picks the roles. He doesn't apologize for anything that he does. If he
chooses wisely, like be out from his, you know, core.
Even if it's not, even if it doesn't gross anything or whatever,
doesn't
he's,
matter.
He's on top of his game, and people respect him for his craft. He's done it. He's did it. He's the real deal. You know, yeah. Clooney's like that too. Clooney is the difference between him and Clooney. Of course, Clooney's Clooney.
Yeah, they're different.
You know what I mean? But Clooney is the same way.
Yeah, Clooney, it's different.
Clooney picks, and he is very strategic about the...
when we were talking about the age-appropriate roles and all that stuff, too, but...
Yeah, Clooney does not downplay his age. He shows it on film. He acknowledges it. Mm-hmm. And he picks the right... He's not jumping off buildings and... You know what I mean? It's smart. Boy. Yeah, well. We'll talk about that later. She's making a reference to my main man, Tom Cruise. You know, but Tom Cruise can still run and jump, and I'm still going to watch him. But, yeah, I think Sean Penn, Clooney, and there's other actresses like that, like Helen Mirren, and, you know, quite a handful of other people in the community that they respect the craft,
yeah.
You know, and they respect themselves, and they project that. And you pick up on that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when they're in a role like that, and when Sean Penn's character says something, it penetrates. Like, it you can feel it, you know? And when you can feel something like that, it deserves an applause,
yeah.
You know? It really does. It does. We don't do that. We don't applaud. We don't clap anymore at the end of movies and film. I mean, yeah, the producer or the director isn't in the back, but at the same time, you got to respect that craft. And that's why I clapped at the end of that film.
Kind of.
Yeah, well, you know. I recognize.
And I was like, do you clap at the end of a flight when they land?
No.
It's the same kind of thing for me.
Do people do that?
They used to back in the day.
Really?
Every time, at least in Africa.
I think I remember that.
Yes, we landed. Good job, pilot. And you're like, it's his fucking job to land you motherfuckers like on this goddamn thing. Like,
I think
seriously?
There was a time I remember. I know they did that after 9/11. I remember some clapping going on afterwards.
No, that's old school.
But I remember...
That's weird, think, after 9/11. Oh, no terrorists? Like,
no,
what?
They were just happy. They're just... People were a little bit more friendly and a little bit more... They appreciated the things that they took for granted prior to. Yeah, it was a brief moment where I noticed little things like that, and now it's gone away, and I don't see any clapping or stuff like that. I think in the 80s, I think I remember some clapping going on.
Yeah, it's funny to me.
I don't like jokes. I don't like jokes.
The pilot making jokes.
I don't like jokes in a plane. I don't like
that.
They
do that on like Virgin and stuff.
No, they don't do it on Virgin.
No?
No. I fly Virgin direct to LA. They do it on Southwest.
Oh,
and
it is Southwest.
And they wear khaki shorts.
Weird.
I don't like that. I want you to be professional. I want you to have creases.
I've had weird.
I want
weird
you to. I want
attendance.
I just want straight edge, no jokes. Someone posted recently on the Facebook. They posted
so old
the Facebook
the YouTube.
Yeah, on the Facebook they posted. He was on a plane, and my cousin posted this. He was like, yeah, they just posted, yes, this is your Captain Luke Skywalker, a co-pilot, Chewbacca, and something else. And I was like, well, you know, first of all, he got it wrong. Han Solo is the captain, and Chewie is his co-pilot. But my point was, I responded back, I don't like jokes like that, okay? Pay attention and fly the plane.
I like it on the metro, though, when you're like, the people like,
no,
jokes.
Just pay attention. Stay on the rail. Stay on the rail.
There's no need to shove, all right? There's going to be another train coming shortly. And I'm like, that's great.
I don't need stand-up comedians piloting me or driving. Do you drive a train? I guess you drive a train.
Yeah.
Navigate it? I don't know.
I was thinking.
But whatever. I want you to be serious. Serious, okay?
It's like when you're... A newscaster.
Just like my news. That's right. I don't want that.
Stick to the facts.
I don't need
What's
that.
My next stop?
Mm-hmm.
Doors are opening to the left or to the right. Where are the exits?
That's what's up. But, again, you got to respect your craft, and you need to recognize. And I believe that I think we're on the right path as far as the arts and as far as the news. And I just think that it's
really?
I think it's a funny time right now. I think we're evolving.
Right path?
Yeah, I think we are. We're learning by a lot of mistakes.
I think it's out of control.
You know
right
what I
now.
Mean? And I think that we are, you know, I think that through these mistakes, you know, right or wrong, No matter, you know, what side you take, I think that the good will, you know, break through, and you'll have a better product out there. Whether it's it's film, whether it's music, whether it's the news that you watch, the pilot. The train conductor. It's a conductor, right?
The conductor.
The conductor, right?
Do they conduct? No.
I don't know if a subway guy is a conductor. Does he wear a hat? They don't. They wear vests.
Yeah.
Right?
No, they might wear a hat.
They don't have a conductor's hat.
They might have some.
There's no caboose. Is there a caboose on a subway?
Well, they can go forward or backwards on the metro. That's the thing.
I don't get it. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
We're going to get a conductor on the mic.
That's right. That'll be a boring podcast. You know what I mean? I want to get the people to clap at the end of a flight. That's like Eddie Murphy when he was in Trading Places and he played the guy from Cameroon. Him and Lionel Joseph. And he was like, the train started moving. He goes, "We are moving! We are moving!" And he was clapping because they were moving. It was a big deal. So I guess when you land in Africa.
It's a big deal.
Is it Africa?
Yeah, I mean, it's not only in Africa that cheering. I've seen this. It's back in the day.
Yeah.
People were thankful. Yeah, good
and they
job.
Should be.
Good job.
That's right.
Pilot landed. We're safe.
Gosh, what's up, people? And here we go, 2014. So thanks again for listening. I appreciate you guys sticking with me through 2013. Mariam Tazi stepping up to the game and being my right hand. And we're going to keep on moving in. We got some exciting stuff. I just mentioned recently, I'm thinking about doing a Tom Cruise podcast. Yeah, I'll get into that in the future, though. So that's some exciting stuff. Exciting for me. But there's more to it than just Tom Cruise. It's almost like Kevin Bacon, the 6 degrees of, is it 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, the game. Yeah.
There's a 6 degrees of Tom Cruise. There's a lot of stuff that's connected. And we're going to explore that in 2014. So with that, people, thanks for tuning in. Domino motherfucker.
Feeling downtrodden. Fresh kid turned rotten. I can't believe how naive that I've gotten. Over the years, seems like I'm getting dumber. Reminiscent to a time when I was younger with a hunker. Full of dreams, determination, self-esteem. But now it seems they hesitate to be on my team. You know the routine. When you win and they grin, all up in your face like they was with you from the beginning. But on the flip side, when you watched them like a riptide, fools climb by, you slipped and let shit slide. Beside the fact, my voice is whack. Clowns is running around, talk about a smoke crack. Ain't got no homies that got my back. Yeah, I'm a brother, but sometimes I don't feel black. My girl is white, my game ain't tight. Niggas who ain't seen me in a while be like, dude, you alright? Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like,
what's up, fat lip?
And I say, coolin'. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like,
what's up, fat lip?
And I say, coolin'. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like,
what's up, fat lip?
And I say, coolin'. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like, like a sucker almost every day. In the back of your mind, you probably thinking I was gay. But nah, I'm just a bitch ass nigga. The type to get jacked if I'm the rich ass nigga. See, I've been a loser just about all my life. Type to tryna turn a hoe to a housewife. What do you expect? I give respect and feel for a hoe. Niggas keep in check. I'm far from hard, emotionally scarred. On Pico Boulevard, I was regarded as a retard. I make myself sick, get on my own nerve. Immature, insecure, grown up nerd. Half-gen MC on a label that's unstable. Chopping Bliggy on the table. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like,
what's up, fat lip?
And I say, coolin'. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like,
what's up, fat lip?
And I say, coolin'. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like,
what's up, fat lip?
And I say, coolin'. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? When they be like,
what's up, fat lip?